Jason Stark. Jason.
Mike.
How's it
going? I hate to interrupt your Facebooking.
Yeah, I know. I was just checking in on it here. There are so many things I need to talk to you about here with these Phillies. Because
any day.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning, and then we'll work our way up. All right, so game one, you've been around baseball a lot and covered a lot of games. Let me ask you what he could possibly be thinking, taking his ace out of the game at that spot. And when he knows that the next couple of pitchers really struggle to get past five.
All right, you want me to explain what I think he was thinking?
Yes.
He finally did explain it. He would have been better off explaining it that day, the way he did yesterday, the day before. It's all running together now.
Mm-hmm.
So what he said was that he knew they were going with a four-man rotation initially because Jake Arrieta wasn't ready. And he knew that Aaron Nola was coming back on regular rest, and so he had it in his head that he was going to go shorter into that game than usual in order to preserve him for the next time around. That's the way he explained it. I think there's a lot more going on, but that's how he explained it.
Okay, that's fine. You probably don't agree with it. You're an analyst at times as well, and you're looking at that, and you got to factor, be a good manager, you got to factor in everything. Now, he just factored in one thing, Nola's next start. How about factoring in the fact that your rotation has really not been known to go past five, and you're going to have to use your pen a lot? And by the way, what makes you so certain that your pen is that good? You don't know that yet.
No, but... You know, I think roster construction has been a factor in a lot of stuff that he's done here, and was a factor in that. You give this guy nine relief pitchers, and combined with all the data that you're feeding him, I think it just leads him down that road that makes him hook Aaron Nola early, that makes him use 18 relievers in three games in Atlanta. You know, he's being given all this information that says Hobie Milner versus Freddie Freeman is a great matchup that you can take advantage of in the middle of a game. And so it's his first game managing the big leagues. He can't wait to do that.
That's bothersome to me.
This, man? It takes a lot of security to not play with your toys. You know what I mean? He's got nine relievers to play with, and in his first game, he wants to wheel and deal and maneuver and show he's managing. And I think that's a real temptation for a guy at his stage of managing. Whereas Charlie Manuel's not doing that. Buck Showalter's not doing that. Mm-hmm. Guys who are secure in being able to trust their eyeballs and blend that with the information are not going to do that.
Yeah, but here's the other side, Jason. He also played 12 years in the big leagues. He knows about frying bullpens and stuff like that. I mean, it can't just be a number. He played under managers who were older school guy, played for Buddy Bell twice.
You know, he was a pretty cerebral player.
I know he was.
And it's interesting, and he's, you know, he's wearing people out around him, asking for information, wearing them out. And so it's not a question of not being prepared, not being bright, mm-hmm. not having played in the big leagues,
yeah.
not having seen it. There's so much going on here. Can I just try to assess his whole week?
Yes.
Let me try to do that.
Go ahead.
You know, I know you have me on here to be the voice of reason.
Yes.
And the voice of reason part of my brain says you should never make a firm judgment on anyone or anything.
Yeah.
After four or five games, right, in the baseball season?
Absolutely.
It's basically like halftime of game one of the Eagles season.
Mm-hmm.
That's how little the season has been played. So I've got that part of my brain that's always going to hate the idea that after a few games – people think the manager has to be fired or whatever they think.
Yeah.
But then there's the rest of my brain, right? But I also know this. That series in Atlanta was a mess. You know, what happened with Hobie Milner coming into the game when he hadn't warmed up? That can't happen. Using 18 pitchers in three games, that should never happen. hooking Aaron Nola after 68 pitches, that shouldn't happen. It leaves a mark in your clubhouse. And here's the other thing. It's the talk of baseball. I've heard from so many people from other teams in the last 4 or 5 days who, let me just say, they are not fans of this. And it's amazing. I don't ever recall this kind of reaction to anyone who has ever managed in the major leagues. Seriously, so it's not just here. This is around baseball.
That is pretty amazing. I just have to answer one thing about the Hobie Milner thing. They have six coaches there, including Gabe, right?
They've got more than that. They do lead the league in coaches.
They get assistants for assistants. So, what is Kranitz doing when he goes out to make the change to get Milner? Doesn't Kranitz hold him back and go, Skip, we don't have anybody up? I don't understand how that happens.
Jim Gott told Megan Montemurro in The Athletic that this was his fault. And they still haven't gone into a lot of details, but somehow I would say Rick Kranitz didn't deliver the message to Jim Gott, something like that. Nevertheless, there's a monitor in the dugout that the coaches should know nobody's up. You can see it on that monitor in your dugout, even though you can't visibly see the bullpen from the dugout. And I mean, there have been a few instances in baseball history of the manager going to the mound to bring in a guy who wasn't warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as I said, that just can't happen. And this is a guy who thinks he's got a tremendous attention to detail. He does in many areas, but they missed on that one big time.
Yeah. All right, just one more thing, and I don't want this to be a bash Gabe session, but you have to kind of look at this for the long haul. And I'm with you. I'm not judging the guy, and I don't want him fired. I think that the Phillies, when they start winning and they have enough talent to win some games, this will all be forgotten. But the decision, from yesterday, the old-school guy will say, okay, Noel's on regular rest, and he only threw 68 pitches. Why would you sacrifice him and pitch him against Syndergaard the next day? So is that a mistake? Lively pitched well yesterday, he passed up on regular rest for a guy who wasn't sharp today with an extra day rest. Marginal mistake.
I don't have a problem with that one. Early in this season, I wouldn't play that kind of game. The season's too long. He's all about getting all of his starters an extra day every time he can. And that's really what fueled that one. There's so many things that he's done to pick apart. That would be way down my list. The whole shift last night that led to the winning run was a much bigger issue in my mind.
Yeah, okay. All right, I don't even know what to ask you at this point other than, is it possible that the guys in the clubhouse now are doubting whether this guy knows what he's doing, even at this early date?
That's probably the biggest worry that I would have if I were Matt Klentak, if I were John Middleton, after what went on. His very first day managing the big leagues, he hooks Aaron Nola, and it's pretty obvious that Aaron Nola is unhappy. And he benches Odubel Herrera, a guy who's been told, you're a best all-around player 2 years in a row. Benches him on opening day because he's got so many different outfielders. And I would say those would be two guys that you would not want to make unhappy on day one. Then you've got 2 days later, the manager bringing in a relief pitcher who had not warmed up, sitting there in his jacket, and the whole bullpen sees it, and the whole pitching staff sees it. And this is the kind of damage where I think no matter how good a communicator he may be, it takes a lot of work to do that kind of damage control because you played, you know what the common thread is in all players. They bitch, right? They bitch. And this game ammunition.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I mentioned roster construction. This roster creates issues for a guy managing in the big league for the first time. You got too many infielders. You got too many outfielders. You have no clear delineation of who's going to catch on any given day. And that means every day the manager has to make not just one decision, but a bunch of decisions that are going to tick somebody off. And you got to sell it in the room every single day.
All right, quickly, what do you think of the, because a lot of people are upset about the games being on social media today. You have to check in the Facebook. There's an outrage over it, but it seems to be the wave. Facebook paying for content. Major League Baseball is going to take their money.
Yeah, well, let me explain it. It's on Facebook because this is the 21st century. Because it's 2018. This is an experiment by Major League Baseball to see if this is potentially the wave of the future in an age of cord cutting. I'm actually surprised at all the outrage over it. You got 700 million people on Facebook who say they're sports fans. I don't know if this is going to turn out to be a really effective way to reach those people, but I do know. I mean, you can watch this on your flat screen. You stream it. It's really easy with Roku or an Apple TV. You can buy Roku for like $29. I have an Apple TV, and I checked out this game a little bit. It's awesome. It was so easy to watch this game. It was really easy to watch last night's game. It's just life in 2018. And you know what it feels like to me? It feels like 30 years ago when the Phillies took the games off Channel 17 and put them on
cable. Yeah.
People got all worked up.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Jason, hopefully they pull off a win today and they start winning and we stop talking about his gaffes.
Thanks
for coming on.